Thanks for listening.
WPFW, Washington.
I ran a show with your host Zain Al-Amin. This is a show that focuses on Arab culture and politics, and it airs every Wednesday for 1 hour at WPFWFM.org and WBAI-FM.
Good afternoon. This is Zain Al-Amin with the Shai of Nana show. And we are in pledge drive today, so I wanted to give you at the top of the hour before I proceed with the programming here. I wanted to first of all tell you what our goal is today. The goal is $500. I hope to make that in this hour. If this was precious today, if this was precious last year, meaning if this program was precious in terms of information and such, it's become more precious. Why? Because we're discovering that the person that's been hired for Meta and that controls most of our social media, most of the listeners right now are using Meta sources to basically exchange information and share information. They actually hired a Zionist to do that, and she's been attempting to censor many aspects of social media. So radio becomes more precious than ever. And beyond that, this kind of station, WPFW-FM, becomes even more precious. And that's because we're not censored. We're immune to this kind of baloney. We're immune to that kind of censorship. We are not in the bind that social media is in. Within the station, this program, you know, becomes even more precious because we're providing information about an ongoing Holocaust. We can no longer refer to it as merely a genocide. There's a Holocaust. You could see the images that are coming out today straight out of Auschwitz. The similarity between the imagery and what they're doing, it has gone way beyond anything that we can define. But you want to call it whatever you want to call it, but it has to be resisted. And this is what this show is about. You're about to hear some really important information about what's going on in Lebanon that you're not going to hear anywhere else. And before I start on this program, which is focused on what's happening in Lebanon and the latest development in Lebanon, which are going to be way, way different from what you're hearing, and because we are not bound, we are not censored, we are not embedded, we are not bribed, we are not threatened. We are purely telling the truth and relaying it raw from on the ground. What you're about to hear is from on the ground in Lebanon, and the interviewee is there in Beirut, and the interviewer is somebody that is in our local area, but has been a guest on the show several times. Some of the brilliant, the most brilliant analysis has been provided by Rania Khalik, who you're about to hear interviewing Ghadi Francis. In the meantime, do me a favor. If you're listening to this show, please get on WPFWFM.org or call 202-588-9739. Let's start with the number first. 202-588-9739. And make a donation to the Shai of Nana show. And I see Katia hopping on here.
I'm right here with you. And it's so great to be with you today, Zane. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be with you. Follow. It's like I get a double hitter, Mwiza and then you. I love it. And and also, we want to acknowledge you. You are Lebanese. You know, this is a very personal story coming out of Lebanon for you. And I know that you have loved ones that you're probably quite concerned about. And what's beautiful about WPFW that we're absolutely right. There is no censorship. But also that we have people close to the issues, reporting on the issues. That's so important. Very different than having talking heads who have no connection to the people, no connection to the land. That is not what we have in Zain Amin, at Zain El Amin. So please pledge that, make that call that makes the difference. Now we have a goal of $500 for this hour, and you've come through beautifully for Zain in the past. We want you to do it again. This space, as Zain has said, is special. It's precious. It needs to be protected because we are under fire, make no mistake. And it needs to be supported. And you understand that or you would not be listening. So the number 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org are the ways to connect. You can also do Cash App, $WPFWFM. But support that which supports you in the form of Shewainana, Mint NT. Zain?
Yeah, and Katia, when you say it's personal, yes, it's indeed personal. I've told my listeners this before. I have to call my family every morning, and may none of the listeners have to go through this ever in their lives, but I have to check and make sure that they're still safe. Every morning I wake up to call. And 2 days ago, we lost two loved ones from our village, two men in their 20s, when they bombed two neighboring villages, and those two men were visiting. So this is the kind of news I get on daily basis. Mm-hmm. There's a lot at stake for me and for my country and for humanity at large. Because, as you know, the Palestinian question has become the litmus test for global justice.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what's at stake right now. That's what's at stake with the information we're providing you today.
Absolutely, Zain. And I'm so sorry to hear these young men in the prime of their lives just beginning, losing their lives. So our condolences to you. And again, please support that which supports you. Zain does so much, not only for our community, but what he's doing out in the world, and he brings it back. He's also a professor that has stood with the students who have said no to genocide, and as you so aptly said, no now to this Holocaust happening in real time in front of our eyes. So the number to call again, 800-222-9739. This interview with Rena Khaled is going to be amazing, and we want to get to that. I know you want to get to that, but again, I want to urge folks to call right now and support. $500 to go, 800-222-9739 or WPFWFM.org. Zain, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Katia. With that, we're going to start listening to the interview that was conducted by Rania Khalik with Ghadi Francis, who is on the ground in Beirut and who's basically risking her life to relate to us what is actually happening, correcting the propaganda that we're being fed right now by U.S. media, which has stooped to the lowest point, even lower than they'd stooped during the Gulf War at the turn of the century. This is the kind of things that are happening. The only difference, we as Lebanese are more privileged than our brothers and sisters in Palestine, because we actually, when Israel tries to pull those tricks where they say, homes are filled with missiles, or the recent attempt to say that the hospital in the southern suburbs of Beirut is filled with gold for terrorist groups, etc., you know, we are able to actually take, for example, the main media, take BBC or whoever to the basement of that hospital and show them that this is a lie. So that's what's happening right now, and that's what you're gonna hear. We're able to take you to there because we, Lebanon is open to brave reporters like Ghadi Francis. So let's listen to what he has to say about what's happening with Lebanon right now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rania Kalik, and this is a special live episode of Dispatches. After a year of Israel's unrelenting genocide in Gaza, which has now spread into Lebanon, the resistance to it is fiercer than at any point in the history of resistance to Israeli colonialism. Despite operating under the most dire of circumstances, from out of a besieged death camp, Hamas continues to fight and exact casualties. And despite its entire senior military leadership being assassinated, Hezbollah's firing over 100 missiles at the Israelis daily and is staving off a ground invasion as we speak. Still, the losses are huge, unprecedented even, with scenes out of northern Gaza reminiscent of Auschwitz and more Lebanese destruction and displacement than ever before. The grim reality is that Israeli cruelty is only going to get more sadistic, more depraved, and more genocidal. Israeli society is consumed by exterminationist hate. As long as the US-led rules-based order allows the impunity to continue, the horrors will get worse. There's no scenario where the Israelis stop on their own. They'll keep expanding, keep torturing, keep raping, and keep escalating until they're stopped by outside intervention, which means either the US cutting off the weapons flow or the power of Israel's adversaries regaining their deterrence through force. To discuss the latest developments, I'm joined by Lebanese journalist Ghadi Francis. Ghadi, welcome
hello,
back
Rania.
To the show. Hello, hello.
Thank you for having me. We missed you in Beirut.
Well, thank you for joining me from Beirut, and we've missed you here at Breakthrough News. The last time I had you on was about a month ago, and it was just after the pager attacks. And before we get into some of the more specifics about what's taking place today, I'm just curious if you could give us a bit of an overview of how Lebanon has changed in the last month. I mean, for the country, for you, there's been a dramatic escalation of basically all-out Israeli war on the Lebanese people.
First of all, Rania, you are a daughter of this land, and you understand that we have been weaved and made in a way to, we're proud, we are proud people, even as we have around 1 million, which is like a quarter of the Lebanese society, forcibly displaced under the attacks and the bombings of their homes and the annihilation and the destruction that is carried on with impunity by the Israeli occupation forces. Even as we undergo all this, you can see people are still proud and they're telling you that we are ready to face this. We have the stamina to wait, and we trust and we are confident in the long-term victory. You see, the Lebanese people, especially these people that are displaced today, have been face to face with this kind of atrocities for decades. It's just the frequency or the amount of the attack is unprecedented for sure. The assassinations were very big, of course. But as the military operation goes on, you see the people's spirits are still being lifted by the actual ground facts that are happening in the south, by the rockets, by the drones, by the capacity of the Lebanese resistance that is emerging day after day. So yes, Lebanon is undergoing an unprecedented attack. Beirut is being bombed. The southern suburb is being destroyed. It hasn't been. People tell you that in 2006 it was the same. It is even more this time. But it all is about the mindset. You see, for me personally, Rania, we've been living in this one way or the other. Whether it's Tufan al-Aqsa, whether it's after 7 October, or if it's 20 years ago or 10 years ago, the Zionism, the project of Zionism in Palestine has always been expansionist. They've always been this racist. They've always planned to do this. And they have precedents of trying to do this. I think now Netanyahu is on a killing spree, and since he has the chance to, and the US backing to, he's trying to destroy Hezbollah, to maintain something at his northern borders. Whatever he's trying to do, he's shooting himself in the foot. And this is what Israeli media is saying. And now we can discuss throughout this live how and why Israel is on an escalating, and it's just catalyzing its self-destruction by all these atrocities that are happening, whether it's in Gaza, northern Gaza, Jabalia, southern Lebanon, Syria, Yemen. I mean, who didn't they bomb yet?
That's a good question. Who haven't they bombed yet? And okay, so let's move to the issue of the resistance right now, because in the U.S. media and in the Western media more generally, as I'm sure you know, since Hassan Nasrallah's killing a month ago now, almost, and all of the elimination of the Hezbollah senior leadership and the various blows that Hamas has taken over the last year, you would think the Israelis are winning, right? Because they're exacting so much destruction around them. Like, yes, they're bombing hospitals, they're killing paramedics, they're blowing up entire villages. So Hezbollah, Hamas, Iran even are being portrayed as very weak. So let's talk about Hezbollah, because everyone thought a month ago, here at least, that Hezbollah's over, including Hezbollah's enemies inside Lebanon, by the way. But what we've seen over the last week, and I'm just going to point out a few things. A week ago, now it seems like it was a month ago, Hezbollah managed to hit an Israeli military base and kill several Israeli soldiers. And there was a lot, you know, dozens of casualties near Tel Aviv just a week ago with a drone. Over the weekend, did they manage to send in a drone that hit Netanyahu's residence in Haifa? And they've been, you know, sending ballistic missiles over to Israel from Lebanon. And they've also been on the ground in South Lebanon pushing back an Israeli invasion. And that's just a few of the things that we've witnessed since everyone's saying Hezbollah is about to collapse, Hezbollah is about to collapse. So you're in Beirut right now. From where you're sitting, Ghadi, how is Hezbollah performing since the assassination of its entire military leadership? Do you see this as a weak group that's on the precipice of collapse? Or is there something else going on here?
I think what the Israelis have done to this organization is just a forced revival. And some might argue that it was a much needed one. Because when you are a military group and you are used to fighting and then you rest for a decade, corruption, politics, rest happens to the organization. And then there are two kinds of people in Hezbollah. There are the people who are on the ground fighting, and the people in the society benefiting from this strength. The tremendous shakeup that happened because of all that is being carried on by the Israelis, whether it's assassinations or bombings or the pager attack or the destruction of all the infrastructure of the southern suburb of Beirut, because it's not about arms or Hezbollah people here. It's about, like, for example, yesterday, they just hit buildings that are empty, just to say that this society is supposed to be destroyed. So what these atrocities are reviving in the ideology, in the organization, it's the sense of existential war. The difference here, and I'd really like to discuss that with you, the Israelis are carrying out an existential war because they know that they cannot go on like that. They think by killing us all, they might gain some time. Us in Lebanon, we did not really, like Hezbollah or the Lebanese resistance, did not really start as the end game kind of war. It started as solidarity with Gaza to help to ease in that attack on helpless children and women in Gaza. But today, after the Israelis made it like personal with Lebanon, they just made all the fighters angrier. They made it personal and they killed their modern day Hussein figure. So basically, you just reminded them of their existential fight. And after killing their Hussein figure and all their Hussein's friends figures, all the leadership, all their father figures in the organization, after you do that, you go after their civilians. and you start making them feel dehumanized inside your media, in attacking their homes and their land with white phosphorus. So what you're doing is that whether some people were a little bit like skeptical or hesitating about this confrontation, everybody's now all in. I could see some activists, some journalists, even some of the Christian rightists from some of the southern villages. In the beginning of this war, they were saying, it's not about us, it's about Hezbollah. We don't want that fight. But then after
sorry, I didn't realize I was on mute here. So you just heard this, the first section. You're already probably trying to digest this rich information that Ghadi just presented us with. And also thanks to Rania, who is always so pointed and goes right to the issue, as opposed to the acrobatic proclamations that our mass media does to kind of put a passive voice on the killing of Palestinians and Lebanese, and put an active voice on the death of Israeli soldiers that are killing, maiming, and raping Arabs all over. With that, I just wanted to take a minute here to say that this is, again, remind you that you're not going to get this kind of information anywhere else unless you are really paying attention and scouring through all the information that's coming from on the ground. That's my job on this show, is to do that and to get the truth. That was something that activists here in the DMV area did during the 2006 war on Lebanon. And we did so much work, and we did it so successfully. And in that war, the US media was reporting that the Lebanese resistance had lost, and it was only after the end of the war that they started to report that actually what the Lebanese lost are their infrastructure that Israel had bombed, because that's what they're good at, is attacking civilian targets. They're very bad at ground war, as we're discovering now, with the loss of 28 Merkava tanks in the past 2 weeks. In the past 3 weeks, I should say, as they attempted to enter the Lebanese borders. But if you listen to mainstream media right now, it'll sound like the IDF has entered Lebanon and have reached all the way, a third of the way into the country, and that the Lebanese resistance in all its stripes has given up. It's actually the opposite. They barely have gone in 1.5 kilometers, has suffered so many casualties and so much destruction of their civilian killing equipment that they are now basically saying that we are going to focus on. How would they put it? They would focus on destroying, facilities that are tied with the military. Of course, that's what they're signaling, is that they're going to do more civilian destruction to try to force the population into submission and to turn against the Lebanese resistance. They attempted that in 2006 and failed, and they will fail again, as Ghadi will relate to us. Again, if this is the kind of information you're looking for, please pick up the phone, call 800-222-9739 and sustain us. And also you can call 202-588-9739. Another way you could make you can make a donation, and I know some of you listen, you know, across the nation and even internationally, that listen, you know, online, and maybe not at this time. You can go to WPFWFM.org. That's WPFWFM.org. And go to the donate button and go to the Shy Nana Show and make a donation. And lastly, you can use Cash App, which should be a breeze, and make a donation at $WPFWFM. That's $WPFWFM, and make a donation there and earmark it for the Shy Nana Show. And I see Katia has joined me again.
Yes, indeed, Zane. And I was hoping to have folks to thank, but I'm sure that we will after this next break. I know, like, if they were like me, they were really glued to this interview that Rania Kalek was conducting. And you're absolutely right. Her questions are clear and pointed, and she gets to the facts. And the guest was also so clear about what is happening. And you know, this is what we need to hear. If you rely only on Western media, only on the corporate media in this country, the right-wing media in this country, you will see, and even some that call themselves left or progressive, you will see that it's a very different narrative. And that is why you support a space like WPFW and why you must support a program like Shy Wa Nana. We are getting it really from the ground, the information coming from the ground. And this is how we also calibrate how we'll move on this issue. So if you appreciate all that Zane does on and off the air and what he's been doing long before October 7th, but Zane, your efforts after October 7th have become Herculean in your reporting on what's happening. And we appreciate that. And we thank you in both Palestine and now Lebanon, your country, your home. And so please join us, be in solidarity with Zane right now, the work that he does. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. We still are in need of $500. We have about a half hour to do it. We can do it, folks. Consider becoming a sustaining member at the $10, $20, $50, $100 level. Someone out there, Zane, within the sound of our voices, has a $500 to give just like that and can take care of it. If that is you and you've done well and you want to do something great for not only yourself, but for your entire community, then we urge you to call right now. Make that call that makes the difference. Make that click that makes all the difference in ensuring that WPFW as a platform is here for programs like Shy Wa Nana, for the reporting by Zane El Amin. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. And again, that Cash App is $WPFWFM. Zane?
Yes. Thank you, Katia. And I also want to know to let you know that most of the people that are relaying information from on the ground, obviously, are doing it under threat of death. This is, and you'll hear, at, you know, at the, towards the end of this interview with Ghadi Francis, that you know the basically Rania, who is interviewing her, you know, ask her straight up, "Aren't you concerned for yourself?" And she says, you know, I'm not concerned for myself. I'm concerned for my people. And if I fear, if I wanted to if abandon my freedom, then I would be concerned for myself. But I'm concerned for my freedom and the freedom of my people. And if you're concerned about freedom of press, which is under attack in so many ways, you know, and Katia mentioned that I teach at you know, I'm a professor too, and just this morning anti-Zionist Jewish students have set up a structure to conduct a religious ceremony, and the American universities, which seems to be under instruction of very moneyed board members, have pushed the university to actually dismantle you know, the structure that these Jewish students have done, have erected, that doesn't do any harm, that and it's purely, this is the kind of censorship we're experiencing at all institutes of higher education. And as we have You know, as some of you should read The Pedagogy of the Oppressed if you haven't read it, and read about how these crass careerists at all institutes of higher education, these are the people that are controlling critical thinking or unlimiting it under the instruction of these moneyed board members, right? These crass careerists in academia are not even ideologically charged. They're just fearing for their career. They're cowards of the worst kind, and allowing even Palestinian and pro-Palestinian and anti-Zionist Jews from even mourning the dead in this Palestinian genocide, the genocide of the Palestinian people. Again, I'll give you the numbers one last time, and we'll go back to the interview with Ghadi Francis talking to us from on the ground in Lebanon. First number I want to give you is an 800 number, and it's 800-222-9739. You can also call 202-588-9739. And if you're listening online now or later, you can go to wpfwfm.org. That's wpfwfm.org. Go to the donate button and scroll down to the Shai Nana Show and make a donation there. And lastly, you can use Cash App to make a donation at Cash App WPFWFM. Thank you, and we'll return to the interview with Ghadi Francis.
In southern Lebanon, and they killed their friends in a Christian village after hitting the medical teams, the rescue teams. Well, this same person who is known for his political stances started writing anti-Israel. So what Israel is doing in the Lebanese society, it is reminding the new generation of activists, of politicians, of emerging journalists and people with voices, whether they're comedians or artists. They are rebranding us just like the people we read and learned about that were in Beirut in the 80s and that were writing and working and active anti-Israel. I think for me in the long run, yes, it is very hard today. I'm not going to kid here and tell you it's so nice that I hear bombing every day in my life and that I know all my people, most of my friends have been displaced. I have been displaced more than once in the past 3 weeks for different reasons, whether it's danger or alarms or alerts or the sound. Okay, so we're not comfortable in that war. It's not easy to be in that war. But because it's a 77-year-old war, when you look at the differences, you cannot disregard the idea that we are doing way better. Our stamina is big. We can take our threshold of going on and resisting and existing in war is way bigger. We can take more pain, okay? And now, and after 77 years, we don't only have drones, we have intelligence capacities that could tell us about their secret bases in Benyamina and southern Haifa. They were having dinner, Golani, the best kinds of soldiers in the Israeli, $17 billion have been paid from the US taxpayer money during this year for these idiots to kill children. After $17 billion and all that weapons and ammunition and impunity, a bunch of underground organization men from Lebanon, from southern Lebanon, these people you dehumanize, were able to crack your intelligence to find out where the Golanis are having dinner and to send them a drone to that table while they were having dinner. Regardless of the idea that we don't know and the Israelis don't tell us about their casualties and their losses, the idea of safety for Israel is defining. It's not like Lebanon. For us, I hear the bombing, the house shakes, I don't move. It's not great, but we've been through that. For us, it's not about being safe, it's our land. But on the other side of that war, there is a fake society made up and built up by people imported from all around the world, sold the idea that this is your promised safe, cute land where you can squat and be protected by the world to be here in other people's land. When they are spending that time in the shelters, they're gonna change their mind. And this is the exact idea of what Israel is. Israel is a settler society. When settlers are packing their bags and leaving, they are undoing the idea of Israel. But for us, when we leave our southern villages, we've done that three times in our history, and we've rebuilt them three times. We've seen that happen, and we are ready. And the people tell you, we are ready to do it once again because we've paid a big price. We've lost our loved ones. We have paid a lot of pain and blood and tears to back out of this fight right now when we're that close, when we've seen our children, our men build drones and build planes monitored and capable of cracking this $1 billion air force and air protection system for Israel and get to Benjamin Netanyahu's home to make out a historical point where this is the first time in the history of the Zionist entity where a resistance group, an organization actually attempts to assassinate the prime minister of Israel. This is also another defining moment because they think they are better humans and they have been chosen to kill us. So when you tell them that us as dehumanized creatures, as like brown, less humans, are capable of taking the head of your system out with our drones, made with sweat and blood and tears, you are telling them that the whole project is off, that the whole plan is not going to work, that the whole Israel is just going to crumble. I know we are paying a lot of blood. I know that this is not something fun to go through. But what I also know is that the road to liberation has always been like that. There is no easy way to liberation from an expansionist, ethno-supremacist, war criminal, Zionist entity that has been planned, a colonial apartheid state. It's not going to be easy to dismantle it, but I tell you, all the tools have been broken. They have nothing to rebuild their. Their economy is crumbling, their security is crumbling, their trust is crumbling. Their army doesn't want to go to the fight. They just want to use planes and bomb children. Can you see their internal conflict about coming to the northern borders? They don't want to fight our men because they don't have a cause here. Mm. What's their cause in taking our villages? They don't want to come and die. They just want to kill us. But for us, we are willing. I tell you, I am willing. I'm a woman. I'm a journalist. I'm not a fighter. I'm willing to die before I give my home.
I want to ask you a bit more about the support for Hezbollah, because you're talking about how this is reinforced for people in Lebanon, that this is an existential fight. It's not just a support fight for Gaza. This is an Israeli war on all of Lebanon. Here in the U.S., Hezbollah, and you know this, is portrayed as this Iranian proxy that only Lebanese Shia support. But you are, and you're very vocal about this, you come from a Lebanese Christian family. Now, I'm not going to sit here and suggest that, you know, Ghadi's views represent all of the Lebanese Christian sentiment, but you do represent a certain viewpoint from outside the Shia community in Lebanon. So I want to go back to that issue of, you know, the way Hezbollah is portrayed is it's this horrible Islamist organization that has Lebanon, it's holding Lebanon hostage. It's a threat to any non-Shia in Lebanon. And even it's a threat to Shias too. It forces them to support them. So now that Lebanon is being carpet bombed in many areas, it's the Israelis are trying to invade. What is Hezbollah to someone like you in Lebanon in terms of their protective ability in the country?
Well, first of all, I want to answer to that idea whether I represent all the Christians or most of the Christians in Lebanon. Let's talk about the Christians in the Levant. I think I represent 90% of the Christians in Palestine and 90% of the Christians in Syria and around 90% of the Christians that are still in Iraq, not the Christian, the Iraqi Christians that fled Iraq. So the Levantine Christianity from the Bishop Atallah Hanna, who's the Bishop of Jerusalem, to Munzer Ishaq, who's the Reverend of Beit Lahem, and to countless reverends and priests in Lebanon and Syria who have vocally supported the rights, the Palestinian rights, and the struggle to liberate Palestine. Inside Lebanon, there is an entity of Zionism Christianity that was planted even before building Lebanon, and that said that the Christianity would be aligned with the Judaism in the area.
So what we're listening to, if you just tuned in, we're listening to an interview conducted by Rania Khalik with Ghadi Francis, who's on the ground under threat of death, as most Lebanese and Palestinians are, wherever they are, reporting about what's actually happening on the ground. And whenever I hear Ghadi Francis, it's, you know, what I'm hearing is completely opposite of what the mass media is doing this. You know, the Soviet Union has nothing on, if you look at the history of the Soviet Union and the kind of crass propaganda that they put out, it's unmatched. It's of a lower grade than American propaganda. Americans are the most brainwashed people on the planet. The whole global South right now stands in solidarity with the Palestinian people. And as you could see, you know, when they try to divide Christians and Muslims, you will notice that the majority of Christians, for example, in the Levant, as Ghadi Francis just mentioned, the majority of Christians support the resistance to the Lebanese resistance against invasions by Israel and in essence by the U.S. The U.S. is now building the most expensive embassy in Beirut. It's a $1 billion embassy, and it will act as a spy center to basically help Israel in the future assassinate and massacre people. We always thought that these international bodies will protect us, like the UN, the ICC, the ICJ, and there are, again, good people in all of these international entities, but no, nothing matters. The United States, and this, especially the Biden-Harris administration, has burned these entities to the ground with their support of the massacre of the over 100,000 Palestinians and thousands of Lebanese. They have burned them to the ground because no resolution, no threat by these institutions has mattered. And now the world is discovering how selective they've been historically in supporting this resolution and not supporting that resolution. So they've burned these things to the ground, and all we can depend on to stay alive, to survive, and to thrive is our local resistance, is the axis of resistance. The weak do not matter. It's only power that matters. If you're a pacifist, you're naive right now. We are watching a live genocide. We are watching Israelis protest on behalf of rapists. On behalf of rapists. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, you liberals that are talking about losing our productive rights? Did you hear? I want to address the liberals out there that are saying that come to my door and say, vote for Harris because of productive rights. Have you read the New York Times article where over 60 American physicians have said that they've all witnessed kids being brought into hospitals in Gaza that have been kids that have been shot in the head. And the New York Times even shared the x-rays of these things. Do you understand that when you say how angry it makes me when you say I'm afraid for my productive rights while you support the killing of children? You know, this is ignorance. This is brutality. This is savagery. You know, I'm not even speaking to Trump supporters because they're beyond therapy, but I'm speaking to you. And as I speak to you, I also want to urge you that this cannot pass. This cannot pass. Anybody that supports genocide must lose, must fail, right? What matters is what we do on the ground. What matters is what these resistance forces that are defending their villages do. It doesn't matter just to their villages. It doesn't matter just to their countries. It matters to the whole world, because what the Democratic Party has told us is lesser evilism is actually quantified by a party that has killed, has supplied the weaponry to kill over 100,000 civilians. Mostly 70% of them are women and children. And you're calling that lesser evilism? Then I would urge you to check your racism. I would urge you to see how brainwashed you are if you believe that that's a lesser evil. So when the Democratic Party says that that's acceptable, that that's Israel defending itself, they've set the bottom line for the Republican Party to exceed. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? That they're like trying to outdo each other? And that's why the parameters of discussion have changed, that the whole spectrum, political spectrum, since what used to be the left is now is where the right was, and what used to be the right is now the extreme right, the fascist right. And by the way, because we're human beings, because we Arabs are human beings, we call the Democratic Party a fascist party, right? And if you don't call a party that kills 100,000 people and praises the killers and supplies the weaponry fascist, then you don't think that we're human. That's simply that. It's simply that. So again, the truth, you know, the Washington Post, which has been lying about everything since October 7th, says, has a slogan, says, democracy dies in the dark. Well, the likes of Washington Post and the New York Times have put out the lights, and we're being killed in the dark. WPF, WFM, and our show here is the light.
That's right. That's right.
And that's what I want you to do. I want you to contribute to keep the lights on this thing, keep the spotlight on this travesty. And Katia is here again to give you all the information you need.
Well, so eloquently put, Zane. And people have to also remember, as our programmers do this work, they are also under a lot of stress and trauma because of the connection. And everything you've said here is correct. This is why folks tune into WPFW, because they know that that corporate governmental narrative, the narrative really written by AIPAC, is not what's happening. WPFW has no narrative that has been approved. We are talking to people you're hearing from, as you did in this interview, those from the ground. The show is hosted by someone who is affected deeply by what is happening in Palestine and Lebanon, and directly affected. And you are listening. You have the luxury to be able to listen and engage later or not in this issue. But you understand the importance of a media outlet where anyone can tune in and hear the truth. Anyone can tune in and get the facts from the people most affected, which is so very important. That is liberatory media. 800-222-9739. We have anonymous Zane out of DC saying he admires your courage. Keep up the good work. Thank you so much. So we need $400 now between now and the top of the hour, 11 minutes to do it, folks. We can do this together, and we must do this together. Freedom is not free. Liberation is not without sacrifice. We see that. We know that.
That was the plan in the 30s, but everything changed with the first invasion when Israel attempted, and it was aligned with the rightists, the Christian rightists in Lebanon. Even back then, they resulted in killing and displacing Christians, and there was Christian civil war induced by the Israelis as well. So in general, this whole idea that the Christianity in Lebanon is aligned with Israel is a bluff. It is made by the mainstream media, and it is only like branded and advertised by militias that have always been armed and planted by Zionism since day one in Lebanon. So yes, I do not represent every Christian in Lebanon, but nobody represents every Christian anywhere. And the Levantine Christianity that is rooted in Palestine has to be with resistance and is always within the framework of calling for liberating Palestine without even like, without saying pro-Hamas or pro-Hezbollah, but is always with the people. So let me go now to Hezbollah. Hezbollah inside Lebanon is the largest political party. Its political sector is not under sanction. It is not listed as terrorism by the EU. So you have members of the parliament that are elected, and to just FYI, they have the most votes in the Lebanese parliament. The highest numbers of votes are always gained by Mohammed Raad, the head of the Hezbollah bloc in the parliament. So it's not about liking them or disliking them. If you call a dog a cat, it doesn't become a cat. So if you just, so the Americans have that idea of like, oh, saying facts out there and like repeating them as mantras to their pets in their foreign policy in the region. And then they're always like singing this song and like make believe. And this is why they lose in the end. They always lose. The project never works. Condoleezza Rice wanted to make up a new Middle East in 2006. She didn't. She failed because she thought she's empowered enough, because she repeated a song for herself that back then. And now they repeat a song to themselves like Hezbollah, only the Shia, we can like distance them from the society. We can
So we're in the last minutes. We just wanted to make one more call for people to donate. Again, you're hearing things that are probably surprising you, and this is what the show is about. And also understand what Katia said earlier, that people who are carrying the truth and who are these days, despite all the onslaught we're being subjected to, we are undergoing trauma. We are going not just the first trauma, but a secondary trauma, because we've experienced these tragedies over and over and again, way before October 7th. And all of the mass media wants you to start history with October 7th. You know, as the Nigerian novelist says, when you want to oppress people, you'd start with the story with secondly, with the arrows of the Indians, not with the colonization of America, for example. And we are here to tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So if you care about that, again, in those last minutes, please make that call, 800-222-9739. Katia, you wanted to add something?
I just want to say thank you for the show today, Zane. Thank you, as the caller said, as the donor said, for your courage, for your commitment, for your steadfastness, for being a part of WPFW and bringing us this news. From that part of the world that is so critical for us in these times, always has been, but even more so today. So we appreciate you and we thank you. And I know many others out there do. So please call and show that appreciation by pledging now at 202-588-9739 or going online to WPFWFM.org, $400 to go. We can still get this goal before the top of the hour. Thank you so much, Zane.
You're most welcome. So we'll listen to the last few minutes to the show, or we can end it with the Ska-P singing Intifada.
The DC Palestinian Film and Art Festival is back in person for the first time in 6 years. There has never been a more critical time to honor stories created by Palestinians from historic Palestine and around the world. This year's festival featured the DC premiere of 6 films, including From Ground Zero, a collection of 22 short films made by Palestinian filmmakers in Gaza since October 7th, and it's Palestine's official submission to Academy Awards. The festival will also host a hands-on workshop to create your own political art, conversation with filmmakers and artists, and the DC book launch of Visualizing Palestine First Book. Details at dcpfaf.org. WPFW, Building a Better World, one broadcast at a time.
For WPFW News in Washington and WBAI in New York, I'm Sue Goodwin. Today is Wednesday, October 23rd. Here are some headlines. In news from the Middle East, Israel continues to expand its military campaign in Lebanon as it carried out at least 4 airstrikes today on the ancient Lebanese port city of Tyre. There were no immediate reports of any casualties. And overnight, Lebanese media reported that Israeli aircraft carried out multiple strikes on the southern suburbs of the capital, Beirut, southern Lebanon, and the Bekaa Valley. More than 2,500 people have been killed in Lebanon since Israel launched its full-scale military campaign against Hezbollah about a year ago, including 1,900 deaths in the past 5 weeks, according to the country's health ministry. And in Gaza today, the third phase of the United Nations polio vaccination campaign was postponed. According to the World Health Organization, this is due to, quote, the escalating violence, intense bombardment, mass displacement orders, and the lack of assured humanitarian pauses across most of northern Gaza, close quote. The last phase of the campaign, aiming to vaccinate 120,000 children, was set to begin today. Poliovirus, which is highly infectious, typically spreads through sewage and contaminated water. Polio causes paralysis and other grave symptoms and can be fatal. In related news, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said today that Israel needs to pursue what he called an enduring strategic success and to seek a deal that would end the war and bring back dozens of hostages. He spoke before traveling from Israel to Saudi Arabia on his 11th visit to the region since the war began. Yesterday, Blinken met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Jerusalem. Blinken told reporters today he discussed with Netanyahu the urgent and sustained steps required for Israel to improve humanitarian conditions in Gaza. In domestic news, with 13 days to go to Election Day, Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump are focusing on 2 pivotal swing states today, Georgia and Pennsylvania. Harris will take questions from voters at a town hall event in Delaware County, Pennsylvania, moderated by CNN anchor Anderson Cooper. Trump is set to hold multiple events in Georgia, including a rally in Duluth. Trump and Harris remain very close in the polls, and voters in Georgia and Pennsylvania could easily decide the race for the White House on November 5th. In related news, Georgia's Supreme Court yesterday declined the Republican National Committee's request to immediately reinstate new ballot rules passed by a pro-Trump majority on the state's election board. Last week, a lower court judge ruled the state election board didn't have the authority to adopt the new rules and declared them, quote,